Good morning, church.
Good morning, y'all.
Can everybody hear me? Last week we apparently had some problems with the microphone. I'm glad to see you all today. What a beautiful day to worship God. Amen?
Amen.
If you guys are a visitor, we're glad to have you. We want to get to know you. If you have a minute after worship, please stay so we can talk to you. If you don't know, like they just said, my name is John Paul Suchecki. And I am the brand new minister. This is only my second lesson. So I'm really excited to be here. My family is really excited to be here. And what I want to say to you guys today, Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Everyone, if your dad is with you right now, I want you to turn to your dad right now and say Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
Good. Let me tell you about Father's Day, because this is going to be the focus of our lesson today, is Father's Day. Because in a dad, we're really looking for some good men, right? Some men that can be important in our lives, teach us all the great things like how to burp. No? That's not for you? No, but dads are really important. So let's talk about Father's Day. Father's Day was started in 1910 by a lady named Sonora Smart Dodd. Now, Sonora was raised by her father because when she was young, her mother died, and so she grew up without a mother. And so one day, she was at church, and she was listening to a sermon, probably a very long-winded one, because that's what we tend to do, right? And it was Mother's Day, and they were talking about how great mothers are. And she thought, you know, we should have a day to honor our fathers. And so after the sermon, she went up and told the minister how great his sermon was. Hint, hint. She went up and said, can we have a day that we honor our fathers? And he said, well, that sounds like a great idea. We should do that. And so he talked to her about when they should do that. And she said, well, my dad's birthday is coming up. It's on June 5th. And I want to do it then. And like all ministers, he said, there's no way I can make that happen that quickly. But he said, if you give me a few weeks, we can get the community all in on this. And so they decided the third weekend in June, all the ministers and the community were going to preach about fathers and how great they are on that day. And ever since 1910, we have been celebrating Father's Day in the United States, because it's different in other countries, on the third weekend of June, hence today. And so while this holiday did not become officially a holiday till 1972, people have been recognizing it off and on since 1910. Even different presidents have given mention or honor to it, though it was Nixon that signed it into law. But Father's Day is different depending on who you ask. So today, I have a Father's Day treat for you. I had some wonderful people, Brenda and Julie and Co. and Amber, can't forget Amber. I asked them to do a project for me last week to ask the kids about Father's Day. So I have a video for you of the kids asking about Father's Day. So let's watch that video right now. Did we get it to work? Of course it's not. Okay. Amber, do you think you can get it off the email? I know it's in the email. And we'll come back to this video in a second. If this is a really great video. I've already shown it to some of you. And I haven't even seen the whole thing myself. To see. Yeah, I've seen part of it, because in the video, Philip told what my gift was, and I wasn't allowed to know till today. By the way, it was golf clubs, so I now know. can we still do the PowerPoint while this is going on? Okay, so I guess I can't even do my lesson. Well, while they're doing that, I'm actually going to skip ahead in my lesson, and I want to take this time to do something I was going to do later, because I know he's going to be watching it, is to give a special thanks to my dad. My dad took the responsibility of being a father when I was around 5 or 6 years old. Now, my dad, the person who raised me, his first time being a dad was when he married my mom when we were roughly four, six, and eight. And I think this is a tremendous thing for you to go into a new family with kids already in that family and take responsibility for those children. And I know that we gave him a terrible time. In fact, I remember one time my mom saying I used to scare him because I would stare him down. But I would not trade my dad for anyone else. To this day, he still calls and asks me how I'm doing. He tells me how proud he is of me. And he cares enough to say, hey, I love being a part of your life. How can I help you? My dad has always been there for me. I'm so thankful that he's part of my life. And I hope that all of you have had someone like that in your life. So it looks like maybe the video is ready to go. So let's go ahead and play the video.
What is Father's Day?
Father's Day is a day to celebrate our dad.
Father's Day is a day that we celebrate their fathers and spend time with them.
Father's Day is when we celebrate our fathers and tell them that we appreciate them.
Father's Day is about fathers and gifts and cards.
Father's Day is about when you care about your father and you enjoy that day and you have happiness and fun with your dad.
Give daddy a cupcake.
Father's Day is where you can have fun with your fathers and go places.
Father's Day is where you take your dad up.
Father's Day is about celebrating your dad and how important they are to you.
What makes a good dad?
What makes a good dad is when they love you and appreciate you and always encourage you.
What makes a dad?
He takes care of you and he encourages you for all the things, and then he appreciates you for doing so much for him.
Dads are funny. Dads are cool. And that's it.
It's a good dad when he appreciates you, loves you, and he takes care of you, and he helps you like do stuff that you can't do.
He tickles me, he likes me, and plays with me.
What makes a good dad is when he takes you to a pizza place.
What makes to be a good dad is to be cool and funny.
What makes a good dad is when he plays with you and helps you do stuff.
What makes a good dad is the one that loves you and won't hit you.
What makes a good dad is that he's funny, he's caring, he's loving, and when you're having a bad day, he always tries to tickle you.
What does your dad want for Father's Day?
What my dad wants for Father's Day is a surprise, and I'll tell him his surprise. He wants to go golf.
He likes candy.
My dad wants a shirt, a hat, and nuts.
What my dad wants for Father's Day is probably something blue since he loves blue.
My dad wants a gift from all of us because we love him so much.
Yeah.
My dad wants fishing stuff all you.
I want to give him a great big hug.
What my dad
dad for Father's Day is a big tub of ice cream.
What I want to get for my dad is better clothes and better shoes.
What my dad wants for Father's Day is probably a new cool trucker hat, mixed peanuts, probably some salsa for his chips, and a giant tub of ice cream.
What's the best thing about your dad?
My daddy's friends.
The best thing about my dad is that he's my dad and that he loves me and loves our whole family.
The best thing about my dad is that he loves God and my family.
The best thing about my dad is that he plays with me a lot.
The best thing about my dad is he tickles me a lot.
The best thing about my dad is that he loves me and he cares about me.
He's really, really funny.
My dad is nice to me.
The best thing about my dad is that he's awesome like me.
The best thing about my dad is that he's funny, caring, and he's a tickler.
Great. I have to ask, Philip, am I cool and funny?
Yes.
Awesome. I've achieved being a great dad. Now, I love our kids. Our kids say so many great things. And sometimes they, well, not sometimes, often they speak the brutal, honest truth. But I love hearing what they have to say because their answers are so pure and innocent. And they really, by looking at those simple answers, we learn so much about who they are, but also about who we are, because really, they're just mimicking us, right? And so, like them, I decided to explore these questions of what makes a good dad. And I've come up with five things that makes a good dad. A good dad makes time for his family. They're good communicators. They discipline out of love and give praise to when it's due. They love and respect their wives, very important, right, women? And they apply God's practical wisdom. And we're going to explore every one of these individually. The first one, a good dad makes time for their families. They spend a significant, and I mean significant, amount of time for their families. Now, before I start this, I want to preface that a lot of what I'm going to talk about also makes a good mom. So I want you to understand that I think these qualities also apply to women as well, but today we're just going to be focusing on the men, okay? And so, in our society, the man is often seen as the breadwinner, and this is becoming less prevalent as we go on, especially as the women become stronger in the workforce. But often it is the guy that works the longer hours, takes the harder jobs, and spends less time with the family. And we do that because it financially makes sense, right? But however, there's more that you need to provide for your child than finances. You need to also provide for them physical support. And that sometimes that's just simple things like playing catch or having a tea party or taking them fishing. Other times, that means being involved in their lives, going to their concerts, their performances, or even in their education, which I want to talk about a little bit more. A good dad, like a good mom, sacrifices their needs and their wants for their children. They often go without. Yesterday, I got a pie for myself. A piece of pie, not a whole pie. And Philip asked me if he could have it. And I thought, well, I could go buy him another pie, but sure, I'll give him my pie. I don't really need it. I especially really don't need it. But I'm happy to give my child what I could have had for me. Because ultimately, I want to show them what it means to make sacrifice. Maybe a piece of pie isn't making a sacrifice. But it does mean giving up something that you could have had, just so your children could have better than you. A good dad is involved in his child's education. The Deuteronomist says, these words that I am commanding you today must prove to be on your heart, and you must teach them to your son and speak of them when you sit in your house and when you walk on the road and when you lie down and when you get up. So here, the author is telling the people, we heard in the beginning, listen, this is important, and it's so important that you as the fathers need to teach it to your children so that they will live by it and teach it to their child. It's the same reason that we continue to do this today, whether or not it's about the law, because a good dad also needs to set a good example. A good dad is a good listener, and he is slow to anger. And sometimes our children tell us wonderful tales, and sometimes they do things that make us upset. But a good dad is patient in how he handles the situation. A good dad chooses his words carefully. I am really good at sticking my foot in my mouth. And especially I might say something and my wife says, no. So a good dad needs to be able to communicate well to his child, but also be aware that he may not be teaching them the right thing. A good dad is genuinely interested in what his child has to say because he wants you to be a part of his life or her life. And sometimes that means listening to the same bad joke over and over and over again. Because they want you to know, they want you to laugh. What were some of the things that we've heard? A good dad is funny, and a good dad laughs. James says, every man must be swift about hearing, and slow about speaking, and slow about wrath. He's talking to the Gentiles. Sorry, he's talking to the Christians and their dealings with the Gentiles. But this is also a good message for parents dealing with their children. Be careful in how you raise your child. A good dad disciplines out of love and gives praise when it's due. We do it out of loving concern and long-term welfare. And also we do it to educate, chastise, correct, and advise. And sometimes that's not always easy. I mean, we certainly don't do it out of because we want to laugh at them. And we don't do it out of spite. But they don't always make it easy. Sometimes my children do something really bad, but it's so funny, I just want to laugh at them. The good dad also needs to know that it's okay to laugh at them, but you also need to teach them. The good dad seeks opportunities to commend his child, to tell him, hey, this was great, I loved it. Because all of our children are going to do things that are commendable, such as the video we just saw, or maybe even their performances, or their sports games, or whatever else your children are involved in. Not only do you as a parent have a responsibility to go and watch them, but you have a responsibility to encourage them. All these things that you learn as you become a parent. A good dad motivates his child to do the right thing. Do you remember that big word I talked to you guys about last week? Does anybody remember what that word was? Contractualism. What we owe to each other. As parents, we owe our children the best. And that means also making sure that they understand the difference between right and wrong. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not provoke your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Teach them to do the right thing and do it out of love and concern, not out of malice or spite. Good dads love and respect their wives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. A good dad exercises his role as a husband and shows his wife love and respect in front of and out of sight of the children. Mostly because of this last one, because children also need to be shown love and security. And if they see parents fighting, they feel like the love and security is not there. Do you know in most cases of divorce, children blame themselves? And it's really not their fault at all. So it's important for parents, not just dads, to show their children that they love them. And parents aren't perfect. Parents disagree. My wife tells me when I'm wrong. And while I may try to disagree with her, I want to make sure that my kids know that despite the fact that mommy and daddy disagree, we're going to work it out and we're going to love them through it all. Paul says in Ephesians, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing and water through the word, and to present to her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. And he concludes the chapter by saying, however, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, as the wife must also respect the husband. There's a saying that we kind of learned in Bible school. Anything worth saying is worth saying twice or even three times. And here Paul says this twice in a period of a few verses. He wants you to stress that point of the husband loving and respecting the wife is one of the most important things that people can do in their marriage, just as Christ loved the church. Finally, good dads apply God's practical wisdom. A good dad leads by example because essentially he is the head of the house. Do as he says and as he does, not as he doesn't do. A good dad teaches grace and forgiveness despite the fact when your child does something terrible, because sometimes they just don't know any better. And it's important to spare the rod. Because just like Christ shows us grace and forgiveness, we need to show our children the same. A good dad teaches faith, hope, and love, just like Christ teaches us faith, hope, and love. The greatest of those being love. Hear, O Israel, I'm about to tell you something very, very important. And so he says this by what is called the Shema. And it's so important, he's going to tell them, I want you to take this and you're going to bind it on your heart, and you're going to bind it in your mind, and you're going to put it on your doorway. Because I want you to never forget it. And you're going to teach it to your children. I'm about to tell you the most important piece of wisdom and advice that you're ever going to hear. And that is, I am God and I am one. And I want you to love me with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your might. And you should teach your children this. I want you to lead as example as parents to show them the love that I have shown you. The Bible is this wonderful tool, and it teaches us so much. It provides us so much information and inspiration on how to be great Christians. And not only does it provide us this information, it shows us examples, good and bad. And there are some terrible examples of people being a bad dad in the Bible. Manasseh and Asa, they were idol worshippers, kings of Israel. And you know what they did with their kids? They sacrificed them to those false gods. I think that makes them a pretty bad dad, don't you think? Eli and Samuel, who were both probably very good people themselves, they were judges in Israel before kings. Their children, who were expected to follow in their footsteps abused the people in Israel. In fact, Eli's children slept with the woman who worked at the tent of meeting. So bad that God had to intervene to stop it. And David, I think David is the best example of being a bad dad. And it's also interesting because David is, when we think of David, we don't think of him as a bad person. We think of him after God's own heart. And while he might have had great faith, he had terrible character flaws. And being a dad was certainly a really bad quality. Sorry, his teaching his children was something that he absolutely failed at. One of his, he didn't even punish his children. His first son tried to rape someone. Actually, he did rape someone. His second son stole his kingdom and then slept with his wife. His fourth son, before his deathbed, tried to take his kingdom. Figure if you didn't learn the first time, maybe you'll learn the second time. To be fair, David's quite old at this point. And then finally, his last son, his son that is expected to be the pinnacle of wisdom and wealth in the Bible, is concluded to be bad because he didn't follow God. Not only that, David also gives him a hit list of people to take care of. But the Bible is also a good place to find a good dad. Joanab, who gets this very... Does anybody here know who Joanab is? He gets like three verses in the Bible. Three verses. I would have been surprised if anybody had heard of him. But those three verses tell you that his children obeyed him. And they tell you that they obeyed him so much that they passed down his teachings from generation to generation. So make sure that the most important thing that they tell you about this man was that he was a good dad. And Job, though Job is a very interesting book, but not really about him being a dad, we learn that despite how bad his children was, he tried to do right on behalf of them. He tried to be a good family dad by getting them together. He prayed for them. He offered sacrifices on behalf of them. And despite their wickedness, he tried to teach them the right ways. This is what the Bible does for us. Is it provides us a good example. Which is why this is the point I wanted to talk to you about my dad. Because my dad, despite not being perfect, has always tried to do the right thing by me. And I am ever so grateful for that. But I recognize that he is not perfect. And that's okay because I'm not perfect. But even though we have imperfection, we have a perfect example. And not even an example, we have a perfect dad who cares about us so much. And that is God our Father. He knows what we'll need before we ask. That's great intuition, right? He will reward us for our unseen acts, our good unseen acts, meaning that He cares about what we do and when we do it. He lives with us every single day. He is a part of our lives always. He comforts us when we're sad. He wipes the tears from our eyes. He makes everything new. And He has prepared a place for us with Him one day when we finally can leave this earthly world and rejoice with Him in heaven. It is all unseen and unheard and unknown. And we come here every single week to learn about Him, to praise Him, to worship Him, till the day that we get to go and be a part of Him. If you would like to know this dad, or if you would like to be part of his family, or you need prayers from his family, I invite you to give thanks And I invite you to come as we stand and sing.